everyone. You are listening to Yacht Femme on Yachting International Radio, where we discuss women in yachting.
Welcome to Yacht Femme, where we talk about the women that make the yachting industry. I'm your host, Andrea Tagliaferro. Learn who they are, how they got into yachting, and what they do today.
Meet Eleonora Pitazo, shipyard relationship coordinator and sales broker at Burgess. Eleonora joined Burgess in 2015 with 10 years experience in yachting. Eleonora grew up in the Trieste region of Italy, and she's fluent in English, French, Italian, and Spanish. She also speaks German and Russian. Her career started in a brokerage company in Monaco, which gave her experience in sales, charter, customer relations, and project management. Prior to joining Burgess, she worked as a charter manager for Fraser Yachts in Monaco. She also has experience as chief commercial officer for Europe, Russia, for super yacht supply company SeaVision. And yeah, she's also a yacht dame.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Yacht Femme. I'm here with a very good friend in the industry, Eleonora Pitazo. She is actually a kick-ass woman and has appeared in almost every amazing woman in the industry on all the magazines. She's always headlines. So I'm so happy you guys get to meet her on the show. She is the shipyard relationships coordinator and sales broker for Burgess. So on top of everything, she has a very important job and she's extremely well known within the industry as well. Eleonora, thank you so much for taking the time to appear in the show.
Hi, Andrea. Hi, and hi, everybody. So thank you for giving me this opportunity today to join a conversation with Yacht Femme. So I'm very happy to be here and ready for your questions.
Eleonora was always already very nice and has also appeared on Yacht Dame. So you can find her information on the website and on the other Instagram platform. So let's jump in. Eleonora, can you give us a little bit of background? Tell us who you are, where are you from, and what do you do in yachting?
Sure, sure. So, well, Andrea, it's my story comes from the very northeastern part of Italy. I was defined by the industry, the Italian with the Austrian pinch, because actually the region of Trieste borders with Slovenia and Austria. And actually, until 100 years ago, was still part of the Habsburg Empire. This has left a massive cultural heritage into my region. So, you know, I got, of course, the Italian mix with some Austrian pinch. And I lived there until my university studies. And after I landed here on the French Riviera. Wasn't my academic plan, of course, to get here, but life is full of surprises and we need to take always the good ones. So I finished my postgraduate studies in international relationship and international affairs with another master in European advanced studies. My specialization is geostrategic, which means basically geopolitics with a mixture of military studies. So I was supposed to join. So I was supposed to join a PhD actually program in Rome. However, love is winning against everything in life. So I decided to move for personal reasons on the French Riviera. And I found myself with this amazing profile, but what I'm going to do now? So a Dutch friend, she suggested me to look for some jobs in Monaco. And there was a small brokerage company looking for an office manager. And there we go. So everything started with yachting and just decided that probably that was my vocation and needed just to keep this new passion and heading up with full spirit. And so here we are in Monaco, in Burgess.
So what was that first brokerage house you started at?
The first house was called Privilege Yacht. And my boss worked many years in the United States. So we opened a very small corner office in Miami. And actually, I got very familiar with the Florida market because for 6 years, I was literally traveling there almost 1 week a month. So, and wow. I was doing quite a lot of brokerage business, project management, some charter. So I got really a full knowledge of the commercial activity of our yachting industry. And after, of course, I moved on into other adventures, because there is always an evolution if you want to become a specialist, right?
Of course. So from the privilege charter, what happened? Was right after you joined Burgess, or did you do something else in between?
No, I actually decided to go for another adventure with a US company, just Fort Lauderdale based, and called Sea Vision Underwater Lights. I was the chief commercial officer for Europe and Russia, because they had their European antenna based in Antibes and then Cannes. And when I was when I joined the company, they were actually looking into maximizing the exposure of the company into a large super yacht. And this is where really I had the switch with larger boats, and I started driving to all Europe and going to Moscow Boat Show just to represent the company and selling underwater lights. However, I have to say that it was a massive experience on field. It allowed me really to compare different way of of approach, how was the commercial proposal different into an Italian shipyard, a German shipyard, a Dutch shipyard. And of course, the underwater lights were the first thing that you fit just after a hull upper structure. So I could see the future shaping of yachting. It was absolutely fascinating. And this is where also I really got very interested into the new build part. Mm-hmm. After Sea Vision, though, I said, maybe I'm traveling too much, so I should find something quieter. And I had a very, very quick experience as a charter manager for Fraser Yachts. So mm-hmm. entered into the charter management, that it was another specialization.
Completely different.
Very different, and actually absolutely yes, with less travel. However, in this case, I could really perfection my relationship with the owners, with the yacht owners, and of course all the main actors around the commercial charter activity of a yacht. So it became quite a lot of insight. And after I went to Burgess, and now I'm in the sixth year with Burgess. So very enthusiastic. I love my job. And I had the opportunity almost 3 years ago to finally join the sales department. I always loved actually the very commercial part. I love the challenges. I love to get the deal done, and there we go. So work for that. However, the company took in consideration my past experience, and they decided that we had to implement, of course, the shipyard relationship. So it's a business role in this case, plus doing my sales broker activity, and the rest is history, as we say.
So I think maybe the audience is a little bit more familiar with the broker side, with the selling of the yachts. Can you tell us more about the shipyard relationship?
Yes, sure.
What do you do? What is your role there?
Okay, sure. Basically, as you may know, I mean, we are a large company, and the super yacht industry is quite specific also in the new build field. What we have to think is that big companies like Burgess, they need to have a very well organized structure, and to implement the organization, it's better to improve the filter that goes to a relation. Means if we are many brokers and we're calling the shipyard for the same thing, it's not gonna really give a lot of practicality. So better having one contact that is familiar and that is able to make sure that all the other sales team brokers are aware of what's going on. And as I have had a lot of connections with the shipyards from my previous experience, it was much easier for me to pick up a phone, taking a car, driving there. I don't need the GPS to go to the yards. So, of course, also for the industry that they know me in the past and at the several events of the industry, it was a face that we know, a face to put in contact with, and so we created this new feature, and actually it works very well because it gives more time to my colleagues to dedicate to the sale of the boats. It gives a massive improvement into the database because we have regular information, and it gives, of course, a massive advantage to a shipyard that knows that, of course, all the other brokers are very free to get in touch with them. However, they will always know that there is already basic information that is given, provided, discussed with the client before eventually my colleagues will pick up the phone and contact the yard for further information. This is what they want. So it's a great improvement into the performance of the whole team. And of course, the shipyard relationship needs a constant contact with the actors of the industry. So I'm basically monitoring all the activity in Italy, in Europe, worldwide, and of course, now that I cannot really travel, I have my local colleagues that give me a hand and they feed me sometimes with good information. So it's always a teamwork at the end of the day.
That's very interesting. When you describe it like that, it sounds so logical. It's amazing that it didn't exist before. It's one of those things that it just smooths out everything that you're like, oh, we should have always had this like one point of contact, like a pyramid that gives to other people. So that's great. You just described having so many roles within the broker side, as well as, you know, the construction side of the yacht build. Why did you end up picking broker sales? It seems like you could have gone almost like any avenue you wanted.
Well, because I'm within the years, of course, I realized that that I really like the commercial approach, and it's also in my nature, the fact of having the challenge, a constant challenge of having a deal done, having seeing a client that is happy, an owner that is happy. I mean, at the end, you get in touch with some people that create real connections for so many years. And this is the way it goes. You've got repeat clients that eventually start willing to charter, then they step into a small yacht purchase, and maybe they want to go bigger, maybe then they become passionate about the new build, the whole new build activity. They like the adventure, and you are together with them. So you see evolving your client, and this is something that is absolutely magnificent. It's always fascinating to see how an owner, how a client behaves, and there is always a new life when you enter in contact for the first time with the client. You don't know him, so it's always a discovery. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to what is really the perspective of the client, what he's really looking for, and your challenge is, will I find something that it's going to be suitable for the client? So this is what I like. So the shipyard relationship is something that I'm very comfortable with. I love the industry. I love to stay in touch with people. And on the other side, I like also to see the evolution of individuals, like owners and clients within the industry. So that's probably why I decided to go for the sales broker role as well.
To understand better, you're very different. Well, they're related, of course, roles, but they're very strong roles themselves. Can you tell us like a day in a life of a sales broker and a day in a life when you do the shipyard relationship?
Sure. So if somebody follows me on Instagram, he probably has seen in the past my 6 a.m. morning flight heading to a shipyard. So everybody knew that it was quite an early wake up. So early wake up, you go to the airport, you take a nice flight, and or you drive the car if you go to Italy. And you head to the yard. At the yard, basically, you meet with the sales team. You have an inspection of the facility. Eventually, you get a quick intel about what's in construction and the most important, what can be sold by by the brokerage company, of course. So after this, basically, at the end of the day, you have a clear vision of what's going on at the yard. And you do that, of course, with a few yards. The trip was always not an individual trip. I was trying to put together like a road trip. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I was visiting a couple of shipyards per day for 3-4 days in a row. Like these, I could cover the most of the itinerary and, of course, maximize the flux of information that I could get for the colleagues. So this is basically a very moving and dynamic life, driving the car, picking up calls, visiting the yard, speaking with the sales team. So it's very active. And of course, the sales broker day, it's a day where you are getting in touch with your client. Maybe you have a selection to prepare for your client. So you have to go through what's the most suitable boat for and what there is, of course, available. You eventually check if there are some units still available. Sometimes, you know, something is marketed, but the information is not updated. So you need to make sure that you're not presenting something that doesn't exist or is under control. Because, yeah, we need to be.
It happens.
It's also because the market being so dynamic, sometimes you receive an offer for the boat and maybe you cannot really update the system to third-party brokers, so it's better to check with your colleague and asking eventually if the boat is still available. It's a bit like in charter, you know, there can be some charter where you should still ask the yacht manager, the charter manager, if the boat is available, because there might be an offer that the owner might want to accept. So it's very delicate, and you will need to be sure that you can propose the boat without having somebody telling, sorry, they accepted an offer yesterday. You're like, gosh, I sent the wrong boat. So this makes sure that you send a good selection to your client. Of course, you have your, eventually you got your central agency listing. So you reply to third party brokers inquiries, to direct clients, or eventually you just try to find in your database who's going to be the prospect that might be interested in a special selection in a 32-meter range, in a 30 to 50-meter, 50-meter plus. So it's chasing, of course, and this is another challenge of the sales broker. that, of course, is the same for everybody.
I didn't know how often that would happen, that you would get someone excited and all of a sudden they may have sold it already, but the system wasn't updated. So it must be very hard emotionally to get the client over, move them to another
yacht. Yeah, sure. The fact that, of course, before announcing the sale of a yacht, you need to go through a very accurate process because, you know, sometimes the market is extremely unpredictable, probably the most unpredictable market.
That's true, and I'm sure you guys have seen many changes. And actually, let's dive into that. So many of us, and I think everybody, has had to restructure their daily routines or how, I don't know, the core of their companies actually work. How has the pandemic affected you?
Well, actually, the first impact was the traveling, of course. As you know, I mean, we're always on the run, and I forgot to mention, when you're a sales broker, of course, you go to inspect the boats, you present the boats to your client, and after you prepare eventually also a road trip where you go with your client to show that potential boats he might like. So, the travel restrictions were quite heavy. And however, what the industry found there that was existing, as we mentioned before, was technology. The use of technology became, of course, massive, and actually it had improving certain aspect of the relationship with the client, because the client, of course, is stuck in a place and can't move, but still wants to buy a boat. So the only way you can contact him is organizing something to give him a larger perspective of the boat. And there we go. So we had much more virtual tours available, walking tours with the captains, or eventually when the travel restrictions got a little easier, you step eventually on board the boat and you have a video call with your client. So the massive use of technology has actually helped us a lot in the COVID. So this has changed because we weren't using as much as nowadays the technology. So that was probably the largest impact we have. After, of course, there is a feeling, the feel and touch. There's been some transactions I heard in the industry where a client has bought literally virtually the boat. So it happened. However, I know that the few clients that came through after the travel restrictions eased, then they finalized, of course, the deal. But it kept us, it gave us the technology, gave us the necessary support to keep up the relationship, to keep the client's interest into the product, and eventually going forward when the new rules would apply. So it's happening again now. Travel restrictions again, so we use again the technology.
Yeah, well, I'm happy that everybody is pivoting and seeing how they can change and still be effective. So how long is it that you've been now in the yachting industry, from the yacht management of an office all the way to now?
It's mine be 15th year. I think that I started when I was a child.
So, but 15 years, I guess, since you moved to Monaco, took that role at the first broker house. So many things have happened. You have really changed careers many times within the space. Can you pinpoint what would be like your biggest accomplishment, or at least a very proud day that you said, you know, like, I did that?
Probably was it was really in the moment that Burgess confirmed that I could be a sales broker, because, you know, a company of such a renown, with such a beautiful history, with such a great branding in the industry, for me it's a question of pride being part of this team and being announced by the top management that I could be a sales broker. Then that for me was like, okay, you made quite a long way, and your company thinks that can trust you into your role. So yes, that was probably one of the best days I had in my career.
I love it. It's not an award. It's not like a sale. It's actually the support from the big company to say, yes, you can start this and be the sales broker. So.
Well, you know, at the end, your growth, the individual growth, starts also with the relationship with the company. If the company believes you, gives you these wings and the opportunity to grow, and for this, I have really to be thankful massively, Burgess, for that. And feeling today this role for me, it's really a question of great pride and proving that passion and work can match so well together.
Yeah, and you've worked so hard academically and then professionally out in the field. Can you tell us something we wouldn't normally know about you? Maybe a hobby or something you just want to share?
Well, of course, I kept a bit of my diplomacy in the blood. So I'm volunteer for an NGO of the United Nations. It's called UNGMDF. So it's based in New York at the United Nations headquarters, and I'm part of the European antenna. So basically this NGO promotes goals for the millennium, and which is, of course, equality, human rights, children rights, there are several fields of applications that there are a lot of discussion in that. So when I can, between flights in a normal time, between deals, calls, I give some of my time to this beautiful organization. So probably, well, yes, I don't really advertise it. So now you know something you don't know of me.
So when did you start that?
It was 2017. So it was quite recent. I mean, gonna get there in the fourth year again. But I always kept in touch, of course, with international organization. I have a lot of friends working in the European institutions. Of course, those that kept the spot in national affairs, they eventually also grew quite a lot. So I also have a nice network of diplomats, European institution representatives, and very high professionals that after 15 years, of course, are very expert in their field as well.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just like you keep working hard, so you're a great contact after 15 years. If you drop out, what am I going to do? So it's good that after 15 years, they kept going.
Me, what I'm gonna do? I can't stop, that is for sure. It's not even in my vocabulary. How can I stop? Oh, no, never stop. Hashtag it, never stop.
So it seems like you pretty much, it sounds like you made all the right decisions along the way. You have a very broad experience within the yachting industry that took you all the way to the underwater lights, understanding the construction sites, the hull, and more of the technical sides of yachting. And then you went all the way to not the pretty, but more the experience side in the charter world, understanding the lifestyle and this going into the yachting industry and out only for a week or two. But either way, it's been a long career. What advice would you give yourself if you were starting again today in yachting?
Honestly, it's quite an advice of just being humble and thinking that sometimes you need to be patient into learning something, because we have all the enthusiasm when entering to a new industry, into a new role, to know everything, but you can't know everything, because experience and time is part of what constitutes then your expertise. So I came into the idea that I could knew anything in probably in a few months. And actually after 15 years, I'm still seeing that I'm learning. So yeah, I felt very passionate at the beginning, and I was quite impatient and say, oh, come on, why it doesn't work? Why you can't do better? Why, what's next? And actually, yeah, what's next for sure. But you have also to understand that there is a time to ask yourself what's next. So yeah, I would probably tell myself, be patient, be humble, learn, go and evolve.
Piano, 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 piano. We'll get there.
Sano, ma piano va lontano. So goes slowly, goes very far.
Well, thank you so much for all this information and sharing so much with us. Before we leave, I want to encourage everybody to follow your Instagram. You really get to see the life of someone in the yachting industry. She shares with us the luxury style, the lifestyle side, and also what it is to work itself, with a lot of serious posts. And she also has an amazing network. So see who is commenting on her post. So please share your Instagram handle so people keep in touch.
Yes. So it's Eleonora_NB, of course, stands for Nigel Burgess. So because some people ask me why NB, I said because it's Nigel Burgess. So connected with, of course, my company and some personal taste with a massive participation to my contribution to my company's activity, which is large, is huge, is dynamic, and it's quite beautiful actually every day. So just follow us.
And don't worry, like always, all the information and all the ways you can contact Eleonora will be in the description below. So if you miss that, you just can click away pretty easy. Eleonora, thank you again for joining us on Yacht Farm.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you. Finally, we made it. It took us a few time, but there we go, eventually.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you in person.
Oh, me too. Soon, 2021.
2021. Okay, thank ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to Beyond FAM. If you like what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. Your comment will help us reach a broader audience. And don't miss the next episode. Bye!